Okay, Galatians 6, verse 11, to the end of the epistle, Paul writes, "See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." When Paul would write an epistle, ordinarily, he didn't actually write it with his own hand. He would dictate it to someone else, and then he would sign at the end. For example, in Romans 16, right at the end, where he's sending greetings to the church at Rome, you read this interesting verse where it says, "And I, Tertius, who am writing this, also greet you." And you're like, "What? I thought Paul wrote Romans." Yes, he did. Well, he dictated it to Tertius, who wrote it down. So ordinarily what he would do is, after he would dictate it to someone, at the end, he would sign it to authenticate it, or he would write the last paragraph, write a few notes so that you know it's from him in his handwriting. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, for example, he ends the letter by saying, "I, Paul, write this greeting," the end, "in my own hand, which is a sign in all my epistles. This is how I write," so that you know that he wrote it when you get it. So verse 11 here, where he says, "See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand." There's a debate as to, is he talking about this last section that he wrote with his hand, or did he write the entire thing in his own hand? We don't know. If someone else had written it, and it was in nice, small, tidy handwriting, it would have been interesting all of a sudden at the end to see big, fat writing saying, "Look, with what large letters I've written to you with my hand." Possibly. Another question is, why the large letters? Some people have suggested that Paul had bad eyesight. And this is not random thinking. You know, for example, if you remember back in chapter 4, he had said when he had first gone to Galatia, how people cared for him so much, he said, "You would have even taken your eyes out and given them to me." So people suggest that maybe he had bad eyesight and he would be writing with large letters. Others say no. What's going on here is it's our equivalent of bold font. We have found letters, ancient letters, where when people wanted to emphasize something, they would write it with big letters. Instead of underlining it or whatever, they'd write it with big letters. So that's also possible. Truth of the matter is we don't know why he was writing with big letters. But nonetheless, if he was writing with big letters because he was trying to emphasize something, the end of the letter here would be a good thing to emphasize, because these last eight verses are not just an afterthought. They are basically a summary of the entire letter. This is what it's about. Let me just say it one more time before I close, in my own hand. And so, one final time, I know I've been driving this home for the past 5 or 6 months, but one final time, let me remind you why Paul wrote this letter. And then we'll look at his final comments. Paul started these churches in Galatia himself. He was a missionary. And after he left, certain false teachers, who we call the Judaizers, went into those churches and said, "Paul, he's not the greatest apostle in the world, and he's kind of giving you a limited, incorrect gospel. What you need to do is you need to get circumcised in order to be saved. You need to follow the law of Moses in order to be saved. Basically, you have to become Jewish first in order for you to be a true Christian. And this entire letter, Paul is saying, no, the gospel is all about faith in Christ. It's not about circumcision. It's not about the works of the law. It's about what the Holy Spirit does inside of you. It's not about the works that we do in our flesh. That's what the letter is all about. And so, in the next two verses, Paul turns his attention to the Judaizers, and he has to say this. Look at verse 12. He says, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. So Paul gives here some reasons why the Judaizers are trying to get the Galatians circumcised. Notice at the end of verse 12, he says they're doing it because they don't want to be persecuted for the cross of Christ. If you remember back in chapter 5, Paul said, all I need to do in order to stop being persecuted is stop preaching circumcision and stop preaching the cross. At this time, what we need to realize, when you think about the ancient church, you may think of the persecution by the Roman Empire, throwing Christians to the lions and stuff like that, which did happen, but that happened a bit later. That started more towards the end of the first century and then moved on second and third century. But initially, in the first few decades of the church, the main persecution against Christians was by the Jews. And so, to try and avoid this persecution by the Jews, what these Judaizers were trying to do is, well, let's not focus too much on the cross of Christ, which is a scandal, the idea that the Messiah would be crucified. And let's try and focus on, well, let's try and get these people circumcised. Let's try and make them Jews. So how upset can the Jews get with us if we're trying to get people to become Jews? And Paul says, these people are just trying to avoid persecution. They don't want to get hurt. And so they're not emphasizing the cross, and they're emphasizing circumcision. Also, at the end of verse 13, another reason that they're trying to get them circumcised is so that they can boast in your flesh. They want to be able to write a letter back home and say, guess how many people we got circumcised? We got 100 people circumcised today. Wow, fantastic. Well, we've got to send more support to them, because they're doing their job. It's about numbers. And Paul basically summarizes all of this in the beginning of verse 12, where he starts off and he says, what they're trying to do is, they desire to have a good showing in the flesh. They don't want to get persecuted by people, and they want the praise of people. They want to show off. They want to be able to show off what they have done. It's all about appearances, about what people can see. Look, we got these people circumcised. Look, we got so many. We got these people following the law of Moses. Look what we have done. It's all about what people can see. And that is the exact opposite of true Christianity. True Christianity is not about outward appearance. It's about inward faith. When Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well, and she was saying, where should we go worship? Should we go worship at this place? Or should we go worship at that place? And he says, it doesn't matter. That's not the point. God wants people to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's about a spiritual worship, not about external rituals like these Judaizers are trying to push. Let me make a quick side note here. Paul, and we talked about this before, was not against circumcision per se. If you wanted to go get circumcised, go get circumcised. He doesn't care. But once you say, well, you have to get circumcised or you can't be saved, now it's a problem. Because now you're adding to the gospel. And this is what people do all the time. It's like, I was thinking about Lent that began like a week ago. Okay? If you want to fast, go fast. I don't care. That's between you and God. But if you say, well, if you don't fast, you can't be saved, now we have a problem. Now you're adding to the gospel. And this is what these people were doing. They were saying, you've got to get circumcised. You've got to become Jewish, or you can't be saved. Paul also throws out this thing here just to make his point. In verse 13, he says, these people who are trying to get you saved through the law, they don't keep the law themselves. remember back in chapter 5, again, this is drawing back to what he said earlier. He said, if you want to get circumcised in order to be saved, you're indebted to follow the whole law. You can't just pick and choose whatever parts of the law you want. If you say, I'm going to be saved through circumcision, that means you've got to do everything. And I'm pretty sure that the Judaizers or anyone else hasn't obeyed the law in everything. So he says they're a bunch of hypocrites. They're trying to tell you, follow the law, when they're not doing it themselves. And so, it's no wonder Paul is upset. This entire letter has been rather, it's been an angry letter. because these Judaizers who are calling themselves Christians, they're not willing to suffer persecution for Christ. It's all about outward appearances. They don't practice what they preach, and worst of all, they're adding to the gospel, thus denying the grace of God. So Paul is not happy. Verse 14, it says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Paul was a man who could boast in what he had done if he wanted to. I would like to show you a passage. Hold your place in Galatians and just go a few pages to Philippians chapter 3 and we'll come right back. Philippians chapter 3. Paul is writing and there are people apparently in Philippi who think they're really special. They think they've really done a lot of good stuff and they have a lot of accomplishments that they can bring before God. And so Paul says, well, let's think about that. Philippians 3, we'll start in verse 1. He says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I am more so. If you think that you have something special to bring to God, and you think you're so good, well, I'm better than you. If we're going to go that way, I'm better than you. Listen to this. Verse 5. Circumcised the eighth day. There you go. That's how it's supposed to be done. Of the stock of Israel. There you go. He's an Israelite. Of the tribe of Benjamin. And that's a good tribe right there. That's the... When the split happened, Benjamin was the only tribe other than Judah that stuck with David. Everyone else went off into pagan north. Okay? That's one of the good tribes. A Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. You know how zealous they were for the law. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. That could also be translated better as dung, manure. That's what I consider all these great things that I have done. Verse 9, I want to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. The only reason that I am righteous is through faith, the righteousness that is given by God, not what I have accomplished. This is what the Judaizers are trying to push. They're saying, do these things, follow the law, so you can become righteous. And Paul says, that ship has sailed. You've broken the law a million times. The only way to be saved is through faith in Christ. And so Paul, back to Galatians, he says, if I'm going to boast in anything, I'm going to boast in the cross of Christ. That's the only thing that I'm going to boast about, the cross of Jesus Christ. And today, 2,000 years later, that may not sound that strange. We think of the cross as great and noble. 2,000 years ago, to say, only thing I'm going to boast about is the cross of Jesus Christ. That's a shocking statement. The cross 2,000 years ago was the ugliest, most disgusting thing in the world. We've talked about crucifixion many times. I'm not going to get into it again. But it was not merely an instrument of execution. It was there to humiliate the person, to degrade the person. It was something you didn't talk about in polite conversation. Did you know that the word cross or crucified wasn't even mentioned when a person was sentenced to crucifixion? The Romans didn't even want to say the word. Apparently they would say, hang him on the unlucky tree. It was so horrible and disgusting that the Romans didn't even want to mention it. And Paul comes out and he says, I'm going to boast in one thing, in the cross of Jesus Christ. And you're like, the cross should be something that Christians are embarrassed about. They shouldn't be going around shouting it from the rooftops that their Messiah was crucified. That's awful. But Paul talks about it all the time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, there's only one, I only wanted to know one thing among you, and that's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He talks of the triumph of the cross. He talks of the glory of the cross. And you're like, but how? Why? I'll tell you. Because the cross means that God loved us so much that He became a human being to come and die for us. The cross means that your sins have been paid. The cross means that you've been redeemed, that you've been forgiven, that you can be accepted by God because of what Christ did on the cross. And Paul says, there's only one thing I'm going to boast about, nothing that I have done, but everything that Christ has done on the cross for me. Paul is saying to the Galatians, look, who are considering, what should we do? Should we get circumcised? Should we follow the law in order to be saved? And Paul says, look, what are you going to boast about? You think you're going to boast about your circumcision? Are you going to boast about following food laws? Is that what you're going to say when you stand before God? And it's the same for us. There are people who say, you know, well, you got to get baptized in order to be saved. You got to speak in tongues in order to be saved. You got to do all the people always come up with things that you need to do in order to be saved. Paul says, well, I'm only boasting in one thing, and that's the cross. And this is the whole point of the letter. Nothing else will save you but the work of Christ on your behalf. Trust in Him alone. So, Paul mentions the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Paul has already said in chapter 2 that he is crucified together with Christ. Which means that, well, I am united to Christ, which means that if Christ died, then I died also. My old self is gone. It's crucified to the cross. I don't live like the world anymore. I'm not like the world anymore. I don't have the same desires that I used to have. I don't speak and act the way the world does anymore. I am a new creature. I am different now because of what Christ did, and I am united to Him. I'm crucified to the world, and the world has been crucified to me. And therefore, in verse 15, which is the continuation, he says, for, that's because, so he's continuing this, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. There it is, again and again and again. It doesn't matter whether you're circumcised, uncircumcised. It doesn't make any difference. Look, if you trust in Christ and you get circumcised, it will not change your standing before God. You're not going to be more saved. And if you don't trust in Christ and you get circumcised, it will profit you nothing. The circumcision doesn't matter. That's not the point. Point is, what does he say? The only thing that matters is, genictesis, a new creation. Are you a person who has been transformed and changed by the Holy Spirit? Are you a new creation? In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is genictesis, a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. Only thing that matters is, has Christ saved you through faith? And are you changed by the power of the Holy Spirit? Are you a new creation? And if He has, you are blessed. Look at verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. This letter began with a curse. If you remember that? Hello, Galatians. Cursed is anyone who preaches a different gospel. Cursed is anyone who adds circumcision or works to the gospel, anathema. But now, he closes the letter with a blessing. Peace and mercy to those who walk according to this rule. What rule? What he's just talked about. Those who are a new creation and are not hoping in circumcision or something that they did. Those who are crucified together with Christ and who boast only in the cross of Christ. Those who walk according to this rule, peace and mercy. They are the ones who are blessed. And then he says, and to the Israel of God, a better translation there would be even to the Israel of God, or specifically to the Israel of God. He's saying all who walk according to this rule, who trust in Christ, were blessed, are, he calls them, the Israel of God. The Judaizers are saying, you need to become Jews in order to be saved. Paul says, no, if you believe in Jesus, you already are the Israel of God. I need to make a side note here. I need to make a side note because this verse has become a very controversial verse. It didn't used to be a controversial verse, but it has become over the last century or so. Because there are some who say, no, here where it talks about the Israel of God, that is not referring to the church. It's not referring to you and me. It's only referring to Jewish believers in the church. You and I cannot be called Israel, is the position. And so they say there's two groups that receive a blessing here. First, those who walk according to this rule, that's all believers. And then it focuses in on a subgroup, the Israel of God, which is Jewish Christians, apparently. Now, I disagree with that statement. And let me tell you really quickly why. Why I hold to the Israel of God being the same group which walks according to this rule, being all believers. In this epistle alone, Paul has already spoken of all believers as children of Abraham, children of Sarah, children of the promise, like Isaac. He has called all believers the seed of Abraham. He has called all believers the heirs to the promises of Abraham. He has used Old Testament passages that were about Israel and applied them to the church. Hence, I have no problem seeing why he would be referring to the church here as the Israel of God. And besides that, he has spent this entire letter saying there is no difference between Jew or Gentile. He rebuked Peter in Antioch because Peter was splitting the church up into Jews and Gentiles. He just said in the previous verse, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. So now to end this letter by, as he's blessing them and closing off and singling off a subgroup within the church, which is characterized, which is different from the rest simply because of circumcision, I find that quite absurd. So, no, I hold to the historic position that this is speaking, when he speaks of the Israel of God here, he is speaking of all true believers. Look, this is just like Jacob. Why was Jacob named Israel? Was it because he was circumcised? Was it because he was descended from Isaac and Abraham? His twin brother, they shared a womb together. He wasn't called Israel. Jacob was called Israel because of faith, because God changed him and he became a new creation. Likewise, all who become a new creation are part of this Israel of God who receive peace and mercy. Now, almost as an afterthought, he could have ended there with the blessing, but he throws in verse 17. He says, from now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. It seems like he's had enough. He says, you know, all those people who are saying that I'm not a real apostle and I don't preach the gospel correctly, well, we have six chapters here where you have been refuted, and I don't want to be bothered about this anymore. I'm done. For I bear in my body the marks of Jesus Christ. Probably what he's talking about here is the wounds that he had on his body for preaching the Lord Jesus. already in Galatia. He was stoned at Lystra. You know what a person's body looks like after it's been stoned? We're not talking about little stones, we're talking about rocks. And of course you all know the list in 2 Corinthians where he says, let me tell you of all these things that have happened to me for preaching the gospel. You know, I've been beaten with rods, I've been shipwrecked. 5 times I received the 39 lashes from the Jews. Have you ever done the math for that? 39 times 5? That's 195 lashes on Paul's body. Why? For preaching the gospel. And Paul says, look, I'm not like these people who are avoiding persecution for the cross of Christ and don't mention it. I have the scars to prove it. So don't bother me about this anymore. We're done. Paul says, look, here's the point of the letter. The only thing that matters is trusting in Christ alone for your salvation and being transformed into a new creation by the Holy Spirit. That's it. And verse 18, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray.